Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. I've been at this language facilitation work for 3 decades, and there is one commonality that happens across the board. And now that I'm international, it's happening international. And that's when somehow the mindset changes of the parent, and you end up finding yourself in a place where you don't feel like you can do it. You see your child do something, you hear somebody say something, you read something somewhere, you get a report, you compare your child, something happens that causes you to believe that you can't help this child. They're too far gone. There's too many diagnoses. They're too severe. They're too impaired. They're too delayed. They're getting older and older, older. The delays are getting bigger and bigger. These two words and the but words. I hear these so often from parents because somehow they're in the mindset to believe that it's too big of a challenge. And I believe that you're exhausted. I believe that you're being getting information from people who are trying to somehow fix this situation. That's why the most common things that I hear from people are you're saying, but he's doing this and this. And I have 700, almost 800 videos, 750, almost 750 videos here that I have done with strategies, with rationale to explain why it doesn't matter what your child is doing or how severe they are or whatever. And I still get these, but there's this and but there's that and but there's whatever. So I hope that today I have some information to help you see this. So what I'm going to do here on this video is to show you some examples of other parents who've done it, because that's the only way that I know how to show to you that it is not just possible, but probable if you follow the strategies that I put out here, that I've given to you. So many of them are available at no cost to you. And if you want to learn how to get your plan set and get your program going and get these kinds of results, then I have, these are the resources that I produce for you. But this video is all about just showing you why there is no too much, too delayed, too whatever, or there is no but or excuse or justification why you, the one who's watching this video, can't facilitate significant improvement in your child. Help them catch up? We don't know. I cannot say that about every child, but I know, and I can show you examples. That's all I can do. This is how I know that this works, is through the examples of what's going to change the reality of right now, I don't know what to do because my child is too impaired, too disordered, or too delayed. It's getting, the gap is too wide. The delay is too severe. Even if it is just virtual autism, the child's already 10 and still has no social skills. The child's already 7 or 8 or 4 or 5 and has no functional language. How can I possibly get that caught up? And I'm here to show you how, first of all, that mindset isn't going to get you going anywhere. So it's just like I have a wonderful testimonial from a woman named Jenna who lives in Alaska. I didn't pull it up to share it because it's on my website. You can see it there, where she, like so many parents, was told by professionals that their child was
has autism and isn't going to talk. And she's got four boys. And she was told that about all of her kids. So she just didn't talk to any of them. Why bother, right? That's the mindset. I have too many other things to think about. What's where I'm going to put them in their future, these nonverbal kids, and what I'm going to do with them in their life, and how I'm going to cope with the fact of having four nonverbal kids. She was all in her own self and her own worry about what she was going to do. She wasn't taking action to equip these kids with the verbal speech they need. And then when she realized that she could and she was capable because she watched my videos, she saw results. And she's not the only one. Let me show you. If you're looking for the justification for giving this a shot, whether you believe it or not, other parents were in the same boat. And I'm telling you, these parents didn't find me. They're just like you. They didn't find me until they tried everything else. They tried the therapy, the supplements, the stem cells, the all the different kinds of therapies. They moved. They transferred schools. They homeschooled. They school-schooled. They this school. They that school. They tried five different therapists and ARBTs and went through all these things. And they still are stuck today with a child who was behind in spoken language behavior and social skills. And so what I did for all those people, all the people I'm going to show you about, is I did what I'm doing for you. I'm putting out the information and giving you the information you need to prove that you can do this regardless. Okay. Here's Valerie. This was the first testimonial, everybody, that got me convinced that my online platform was going to help more people than I ever could as a speech therapist. This is a four-year-old with autism who said nothing but old McDonald, old McDonald, old McDonald, old McDonald, and echolalia, and some random labels and a lot of nonverbal communication and grabbing. And so this mom decided to work with me because she was at her wit's end. She couldn't find anything else, so she decided to work with me. I was the last resort. I know I am for a lot of you. Because you realize you've given up. That's why you're watching this video. You think your child is too something for you to be able to help. And Valerie finally said, all right, no, if nobody else is going to help this child, then I'm going to have to try. And she did it. So she had her first session with me. She started implementing the language facilitation strategy. She started connecting with her child and stopped prompting, basically. Her 4.5-year-old late talker, it was like she's been waiting for me to figure out how to help her access words to communicate. That's what Valerie did. She helped her 4.5-year-old for the first time in her 4.5-year-old's life, help her access words to use to communicate. And now that she has, this little girl is seeing that talking is fun and useful, where before in her 4.5-year-old life, she never did. And so what happened when that mom did that is the first day this little girl used new words to make three separate requests. And she never used words to make requests, only grabbing or reaching or dragging or pointing or screaming. So this was the first time, and this was after one day. Okay, in a 4.5-year-old. So if your child is 2 or 3 or 4 or 7 or 8, and they never have done it yet, perhaps these strategies could help you turn that around. Now, this little girl was so excited when, in yellow, I understood her immediately. How did this little girl know the mother understood her immediately? She talked about it. She didn't just assume and take action. She used her words when she was connected with this child and let her know through her speech that she understood her immediately and didn't say, what do you want? Do you want this? Do you want this? She didn't ask her questions. She just said what she thought, and she was right. So they didn't have to go through the frustrating process of her trying to figure out what she wanted, because she already guessed what she wanted, knew what she wanted, and she can't wait to hear what she says next. This was after one day. Now, fast forward 2 weeks with this child. She was using these strategies every day and going to the grocery store, which was usually a screaming, pointing, grabbing exercise in survival. Just get in, get out, get what we need. We're lucky if we got everything. Now in green, this rock star kid used her words to make 13 separate food requests. How much language this child had inside, but wasn't able or confident or whatever, wasn't using for whatever reason, this mother motivated and facilitated to do it. Plus, behavior change. There was no shrieking, no me picking up various things, trying to figure out, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? There was none of that. And they actually enjoyed their time at the store, right? So here's another testimonial. This is the same. After 2 weeks of daily facilitation, 4 to 6 times a day. So this is what this mother did. 2 weeks ago, words were a constant battle and almost never used. And that could be you today, watching this video today. Grabby hands, my guessing, was kind of working to get her needs met, but everyone in this house was getting more and more frustrated. Is that you? That's why you think it's too severe, too much, too this, too that, but we're more frustrated because you're not doing the right things. You're grabbing hand and guessing. It was kind of working for getting her needs met, but it was frustrating. So Valerie realized she was doing the wrong things and she changed what she was doing. And that's what I do. I show people what their need to change and set up the right change so they had immediate results. So this is the thing. You can also have immediate results, right? So this is, where is your program? Is it on your website? Yes. So there is so much on my program. There are so many new programs that are available. This is just coaching where I work with families individually to coach them. And my website is wavesofcommunication.com. Let me tell you more, because it's not just the people who work with me who are able to see this change. Because I know there's people who don't have thousands of dollars to work with me in my ongoing coaching programs. So the people who are just watching my videos, investing in my low-cost workshops and coaching programs are also seeing gains. And these are people with nonverbal kids beyond 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. Let me explain. Let me show you. Whoops. Back to the testimonials. Okay. The next one is here. And this is Donnie Mack, a gentleman off Facebook who has a 6-year-old nonverbal son. He found me a year ago, and it seemed like I knew her boy without ever meeting him because he watches those videos. He sees when I describe the characteristics and symptoms. That's why we called that a virtual autism symptoms video. I know you're looking for all the bad things your kids are doing, but I am helping you look for all the good things they're doing and using the good things they are doing to help them develop the speech that they are missing. Stop prompting and chasing after these disorders, delays, and impairments that your kids have and start facilitating what they need and what they can do. And then they will learn more. That's what Donnie did. He found me a year ago. It seemed like I knew her boy because I talked about his abilities, which this dad could see. She really made a lot of sense in areas where we weren't sure which way to go. And so I told him to go functional. If you never know where to go, go functional. And they've been avoiding prompted speech, have been focusing on pouring words in, getting content with knowing that he's hearing modeled speech. This dad changed his mindset. That's what he did in yellow. That's why his boy started talking. 2 days ago was his birthday. And his 6-year-old genius made a cake with mom. You see how this is also yellow? Because what happened was he involved his whole family to develop functional activities. This boy didn't sit down and practice singing happy birthday with flashcards. They made a cake because cake is fun and super interesting, right? And so what happened then in the next slide, you'll see that here's this dad this boy was so excited to show me. How does he know he could tell he was excited? Because this dad was connected with this boy. He was intuitive. He was watching his behavior and understanding that there were messages behind it, his 6-year-old son. He was excited to the message, show me this cake that he worked so hard making with his mom that was super fun. And he wanted to share that experience with his dad, who was super connected. It was hard for him to leave it alone. He could see that. He could understand, and he didn't judge it or, you know, whatever. They just wanted to see what happens, to let this boy show his knowledge. And after dinner, he wanted to sneak to the cake and cut it, right? He was so excited. He couldn't wait to do it, but his mom busted him. So what also is happening, and you see the yellow here, is this family has boundaries. They have rules. They don't expect, they don't let this child run willy-nilly all over the house and let him do whatever he wants. They show him what's appropriate to do. We make birthday cakes for birthdays. We have to wait until after dinner to eat it. I know it was hard for this kid to wait. The dad knew it was hard to wait. And when he broke the rules, mom busted him for the rules and chased him out of the kitchen. That's a good thing, because this is what we do with typical developing kids. And to both of our shock, he walked over and said in a sentence, sorry, I cut the cake, right? So when you see that this is what these parents have done, this is natural parenting strategies. We set rules. We talk more. We give more. We have expectations. We hold kids to the rules and boundaries with consequences. And what do? They show up like functional, appropriate, socially acceptable behavior that you want to do. So these were nonverbal kids past the age of severe delay in the diagnosis, sensory issues, all of these other behaviors. Yet these parents were able to structure through their language facilitation the way that they need, this child needs, to help them develop the skills, the social, the speech, the social and the behavior skills they need to show up looking like a rock star or a genius, like these parents see their children. The world can see them like a rock star or a genius when they learn how to use their social skills, their spoken language, and their behavior appropriately through the boundaries and strategies and all the things that all people learn how to develop appropriate behavior. But wait, there's more. Now, not only that, on top of these testimonials I'm going to share with you at the end, I've got Q&A. So I've got questions from parents who've given me buts and this is and that, and I'm going to address those questions right here on this video. So stay tuned. Here's more. Whoops. The next testimonial I have for you here. Oops, here's what Donnie says. I can't tell you how huge that was. So think about how huge it feels, everybody. I know how huge it is. That one little sentence conveying his own thought will be etched in this dad's heart forever. And it was just the beginning. This is not a new testimonial. This has happened a while ago. So this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is happening everywhere around the world. From a dad of a child with a support system I can count on my thumbs, which means him and his wife, right? That's it. He uses these resources. Now, these parent testimonials are available for you to see. There are tons of them. I think there are 21 videos in this playlist. This is right here on my YouTube channel. You can see tons of them. And I want to highlight one for you because I could go on and on and on with these testimonials after 5 years. This is a really important testimonial for all of you parents who feel like you really can't do it. I just want you to watch the whole video. And it's Marianne and Luke's language facilitation journey. It's here. You can see it's a little picture of Luke is here on the front of it, how Luke changed from requesting and scripted speech to conversation in 6 months' time. This boy was 10 when they joined my program. And within 6 months, he had revolutionary change. And this boy has a global apraxia. He had trouble holding his pencil and spoon. He doesn't hold a pencil very well. He types to write even now. he had trouble riding a bicycle. And so there were a lot of real physiological things going on with this child. And that's one of the things that can, you know, block a parent like, no, my kid's got global apraxia or my kid's got a brain disorder. You're also going to see testimonials in that playlist from Natasha, whose daughter has an absent corpus callosum with a most rare genetic disorder. You've got testimonials in there from 7 or 8 year olds of parents with true autism. You've got, it doesn't matter what these diagnoses are, whether it's a virtual autism, late talker because of environmental situations, or the physical issues. This is neuroplasticity work that we're doing here. So that's why it doesn't matter how severe your child is. This base level neuroplasticity work is what helps these children develop when making them, forcing them, bribing them, medicating them, stemming them, zapping their brains, all those things are temporary. But these things are permanent and long-term, and scaffolding, all those things, because they're self-developed skills. Spoken language is a self-developed skill. You can never make your kid talk. You can make them say words, but you can't make them use language. You can't make your child behave appropriately, but you can coach them, model appropriate behavior, and reinforce the behavior that you want to see through natural intrinsic motivation. Like, it's nice when we're together and all behaving the nice way, and it's not so nice when you're acting a fool, right? Okay, so you don't need to bribe your child to behave calmly, collectively, connectedly, intuitively. You don't need to bribe those skills in the vast majority. It would have to be a very severely impaired. Even the girl with agenesis of the corpus callosum has the biggest heart, right? It's like your second brain. So there's no need, you see, to program as the later it gets, the more severe it is, the whatever it seems, the twos, right? The buts, the twos, the thises, the thats. This is where I'm here to step in and show you that it's not just important that you do this because it's a good idea. It's important that you do this because nobody else is and nobody else can. Nobody else can teach these things. This is a mom and dad and primary caregiver's job, the one who spends time all day with this child. That's how I know how to help you. So check out this definitely testimonial with Marianne. Okay, so now we're going to move into some of the Q&A time. I just want to remind you that this is Q&A also. If you have questions about your late talker, if you think they're too this or too that, or you were told they would never do this or never do that, put your questions in the comments on this video and you can join the ones that I'm going to share with you right now, because let's get into it. You're going to hear about how some people who've been following me are commenting on my videos to share their experience. And I'm gonna address those questions right now. Let's go. Okay, so Valentine, who's been following for a while, this is a comment on one of my shorts that talked about an experience I had in India with doctors. And it says, congratulations, what you do is amazing. I don't understand why so many doctors and professionals jump on diagnosing children instead of finding the root cause. I hate the fact that doctors or developmental pediatricians have the ability to diagnose or place a label on children when they have no clue what the child is. Now, remember, that happens because of access to services. If a parent goes in to the office asking for help or services, that's all those doctors have, is a diagnosis book. That is currently, autism is the go-to because it's a spectrum disorder. You can put anybody in that garbage can, and the prescription pad that has checklists on it for speech, OT, behavior therapy, ABA, you know, whatever. If the child has some physical things, physical. They're not going to suggest even all the things a child might need physiologically to evaluate their body. If you go in, remember, this is what I said. If you go in asking for these services, you will get these diagnoses. Now, the reason that so many doctors are just go ahead and doing this is because so many parents are coming to ask for help. because they are, like you, believe their child is too impaired for them to help them themselves at home. And they need to go to the doctor to get a diagnosis, to get a something, to take their kid to somebody. And then they have to get it to go to the right person, so the insurance will pay for that other person to teach your child the skills that they're missing. Okay. And that system is overwhelmed and broken. And that's why it happens, because the only way to get in line, to get in those services, is to get that diagnosis. So we know that's why parents are going, and we know that's why it's happening. So unfortunately, I don't understand that's why it's happening. So what I'm trying to do is help you avoid this whole thing. You don't have to go to the doctor unless something's physiologically wrong with your child. Now, it seems, what this is what Valentine also says, it seems that if a child doesn't fall under the norm, they're automatically labeled. And that's, again, because parents are looking for the services. And parents are told that in order for the child to function, they have to have all this therapy, which is not normal. And again, that is because parents are asking for this. Doctors are just giving parents what they're asking for. And so when you're all done with that and you come here, that's why we have, and that's what happened with Valentine. She was done with all that. She didn't even want to go there. So she's watching my videos and workbook, and her son was in speech and OT, but they stopped. I think part of it might have been a move, but it doesn't matter why they stopped, but they did. And after they stopped those therapies and they watch my videos and using my workbook, hopefully they're using the strategies in the workbook, not just filling it out. If they're using the workbook, they're thinking about what they're doing. They're deciding every day to make an itinerary, and they're setting out a plan to talk in a different way and teach their kids more things. So certain behaviors have pretty much stopped, and it's crazy the difference when he's not being prompted. Are there, here's her question, are there speech therapists who don't go along with ABA practices? And the answer to that question is absolutely, yes, there are. But they're hard to find. For a couple reasons. Number one, they're old school like me, because we learned about what speech therapy was before there ever was ABA. And that's how old I am, how long I've been working. ABA didn't get popularized until the end of the 90s. It wasn't really invented. It was in 98 or 99 that I saw Lovaas talking about ABA, and it was the new thing. And then when I lived in Las Vegas, that was where it was very heavily introduced into the field. I was required to use ABA strategies in my speech. I was required to use PECs. That I spent so much time laminating and cutting those pictures. I know, that's how I know about all of these things. And those of us who had to go through that and then realized that it really didn't work as well as the old school way of equipping and empowering parents. But the other thing that was happening in the 90s was parents were having to work. More women, moms, were working jobs, and they were putting kids into daycares, and daycare was free. They were doing early VPK. So moms were going back to work earlier and putting kids into daycare earlier. Or then the devices came along and parents were putting their kids on devices. And at first it was daycares that had 20 kids in a dark room running around while somebody sat, you know, chatting or smoking out back or whatever in the old days. And now it's just that same people on their phone, not paying attention to the kids in big groups. And then, so that was part of why there were a lot of kids delayed, okay? And these were kids that did not have autism or any kind of delay, but they also didn't have very good behaviors because they didn't have structure in these daycares, or if they were home on these phones, they didn't have structure. And so this is why all this stuff happens. So long story short, old school speech therapists who are around before these ABA things, they're the ones that know. Anybody who's been practicing more than 10 years will have a better idea of what happened before, because ABA didn't get into the schools like to actually teach the new speech therapist until about 10 years ago. That's when it started to replace play therapy and all of these other things. And that happened because the system changed. You see, 10 years ago, it was all monetarily driven. You couldn't get into speech therapy unless you had these diagnoses, because that's, again, why I was quitting. I finally, for the last 4 or 5 years of my career, I couldn't find a place anymore where that wasn't happening. That's why I left, to be able to do all this. I know that was a very long answer about why you think that this can't happen, but the reality is that's why I have seen thousands of children before there ever was ABA who never got into these diagnoses. They just were late talking kids with developmental delays for different reasons, and they worked naturally with play-based intervention, and they got caught up and they never made it. They never were in special education ever. And that's because now it's all about this early diagnosis and early this and early that and early intervention and intensive early intervention and early behavior intervention before we even really understand what's going on with the child. And it's setting them off on the wrong path. And that's why there's a problem. That's why there's a problem. So are there speech therapists? There are, but they're older, the older speech therapists, okay? Now, as a side comment, they walk their dog daily and constantly walk her son, explaining details across the street. And he grabbed her hand and said, cross the street. So she's got her little one talking. Here's another one. All right. So this is a different Q&A from Jessica, who is saying she just wants to thank for how much I wonderfully explain everything. Her little guy, Noah, just turned 3. Listen to this story. This is a classic virtual autism story that resulted in echolalia. And this mom is confused because she doesn't understand the difference between virtual autism and autism. And her son definitely has echolalia. So let's talk about it. He was developing on track, crawling, walking, clapping hands, waving hello and goodbye. But when he turned 2, we got him an Amazon tablet to match his brother's. So he's got a 5-year-old brother. And he was so interested in that tablet. Of course he was. So they got him one of his own at 2 years old. And guess what happened? She expected to hear him putting together 2 or more words to explain, to begin communicating better with us at this age, because her 5-year-old did. He didn't have a tablet when he was a baby, and he was a chatterbox by this age. But this 2-year-old did not. Instead, I feel he became even more quiet, choosing to play alone and only asking for the tablet. His requests come as one word, typically tablet, with that obviously question mark in his intonation. Okay, let's keep reading. Now he's 3. Okay, so he's had that tablet for 1 year. And as a result of saying single words like that and manipulating his environment as he has been, because he's super smart, nothing's wrong. He just is stuck on the tablet and he really likes it and he's learning a lot. He's had an explosion of language, however, mainly with phrases that he's heard before. I wonder where he heard them. For example, if he's angry or upset, he may say, no, Noah, because he's heard us say that before when he was doing something wrong. It probably was also really loud and got his attention and very exciting when they said no, so that he remembered that phrase and he knows that he means it. He knows that it means business. Mom says, I notice all of his phrases are situationally appropriate, like no, Noah. And he also creates new phrases as well, such as brown dog, when he sees a dog that is brown. So these are the labels that he has learned from watching that tablet. Okay, so let's see what's going on now. But, this should be the other color. He does not answer us when we ask him a question, which is what has me worried, because he hasn't learned how to answer questions. He hasn't learned how to use language. All he's learned how to do is project his wants and needs to you by saying those single words, tablet, and you just give it to him because there has been no extra language. So, of course, it has you worried because he doesn't know how to answer questions because he hasn't had any facilitation. I'm unsure if we should take him for an evaluation for speech and or autism. He will be starting daycare the first time in August, as I will be going back to teaching first grade. Okay, so let me just, there's one more slide to go about this because then I want to talk about it. So I just want him to be successful in life. Of course, this is the whole purpose of my channel, is for you to help your children be successful in life. And this mom is a teacher, okay? So her five-year-old was an early talker and is still a chatterbox who takes over every conversation. So there's something else that's going on in her life. She's a teacher. She's probably been teaching or prompting or asking questions that this child won't listen to. He hasn't been connecting with her. He's been connecting with the iPad. And the five-year-old is taking over every conversation. So the younger kid doesn't have to talk. The three-year-old just lets him do all the talking. And she's trying not to compare them. But that's the situation. She is comparing them. So what I want to talk about in this situation is this is obviously a very clear-cut case of virtual autism, where the child before, he was the first one. He didn't have his tablet until he was older. He's five now, still too young to be having a tablet with enough time that he's there showing it to his little brother and showing him how to use it and the little brother doing it. That means that these kids are spending a lot of time on their own, finding fun and learning and all of that stuff that they could be doing with parents and books and walks outside and all of those kinds of things. They're doing it with the tablet. Not that these parents can't teach with books. This is a teacher mom. She knows how to teach with books. Maybe when she pulls out the books, though, it's not as fun as the tablets. She's trying to be a teacher mom, and that's how her five-year-old learns so much. But finally, when he got the tablet, he gave up teacher mom, and he went to learn from Blippi or whoever he started learning from on the tablet, who was more interesting and less prompting than a mom who's trying to be a teacher 24/7. So that could be going on, right? This mom just wants the best for her child. This is what every teacher says. I just want the best for you, so I'm going to make sure you know how to pass the test. I'm going to keep teaching and keep teaching and keep teaching and be a teacher who tests, right? Because otherwise, how will you know if what you're teaching isn't learning? So the first question is, I don't know if I should take him for an autism diagnosis. You shouldn't take him for an autism diagnosis until you are really sure that you suspect autism. And first thing you should do is check out that virtual autism series that I just did. It's only available until the end of the month. I'm going to show you a picture right now. It's a 3-week challenge to change your child's life. If you do this over a few weeks, even if your child's farther along, take a month, take 6 weeks, take 11 weeks, right? To try it yourself before you invest in these other therapies. Because just like Valentine said, it's not just the tablet that makes your child talk less like this. It is these therapies that also do it. It's the tablet. It's other people. When you give up the job of speech, social, and behavior to someone else who's going to artificially program it, make your child behave, make your child talk, make your child be social. I can make him be social through my artificial structured situation. It doesn't work. That's why parents find me, because those things don't work. That's why they feel like their children are too whatever, because they go to these therapies and they don't work. And the therapist doesn't blame it on the therapy that is the wrong thing. They blame it on your child is more severe, or you're not doing it at home because it's not reasonable for you to put pictures on every item around your house because your child's tearing them up and eating them. Okay. So think about all of the things that you've been expected to do to make this child improve, because you're chasing after what is too delayed, too impaired, or too whatever. So instead of chasing after those things, I coach you to chase after your child's abilities and teach them how to make a cake for dad for their birthday, right? And work with those kinds of activities. And if you're not ready for those activities, then you do the virtual autism challenge and you start with connecting with your child, who won't even stay in the room with you. Okay? Because that's the process. If your child won't even stay in the room with you, you have a lot of work to do. If your child is so severe, they're not saying anything, you have a lot of work to do. Okay. It starts with investigation. That whole workshop I just did takes you through this entire process. There are 7.5-8 hours of video in that challenge to take you step by step through this process, addressing what you need to do because your child is showing those symptoms. We're not chasing after and stopping those symptoms. We're telling you what to do when you see those symptoms, understanding what is causing them, how you can affect that situation, and then taking the action to do what is necessary to affect the situation yourself. Because you were very involved in everything that happened to cause your child's current abilities today. Abilities. What they know they learned from the experiences that you gave them. Whether you gave them time on a tablet, you gave them time with books, you gave them time with a babysitter, you gave them time yourself. That's where they learned what they know right now. And if you want to change what they know now from a speech and social and behavior perspective, that's up to you to make a new plan because you're the one that spends time with them all day, every day. And sending them to the best therapist, the old one that's been working 10 years or more, or the best ABA or RBT in the thing or whatever, is not going to get you, even the best therapist. It's not going to get you the same results. That's, again, why I quit being a therapist, why I know every parent would love for me to go and work in your home. But I am better at helping you by helping you learn to do this yourself. That's the whole point of my program, of my channel, of everything. And it doesn't matter how severe, I'm going to show you. Let's talk about Susan's situation, Susan's piano studio. She joined because this was a comment on a YouTube ear issues video. My son is almost 4. He has maybe 20 to 25 words. He does have fluid in his ears. He does. So she knows he does. And the audiologist said he isn't deaf, but the fluid is keeping him from hearing perfect. So they're going to see an ENT about his fluid. Okay. So we know that this is true. And still, I should say, but the speech therapist says she suspects apraxia because even with fluid, he should have way more words at almost 4 years old. Why? Who says he should have way more words at 4 years old? And why does she suspect apraxia? Because of other things she saw in his evaluation. So here's the other thing that we're going to talk about another comment that is on the same angle. Yeah, in fact, I might as well just show it now because these are both the same. So Kay Floral, she wrote a comment about a month ago on the virtual autism video that nothing has changed. She put him into nursery and she stopped screen time. So first of all, these two things alone are not enough to help a child with virtual autism learn to catch up. They're helpful, but they're not enough depending on how old they are. I don't remember how old this child is. These two things usually help a child catch up with virtual autism, but it depends. If you're watching this video and you're severe, it could be something else is going on, and that's exactly what's happened in this case. So once again, everybody's assuming at the daycare that this boy has tantrums. Yet, however, since then, he's had 2 rounds of antibiotics due to ear infections, which totals 3 antibiotics in the space of 9 months. Now, she put him in daycare to help him get over his virtual autism. But what's happening at daycare is he's getting recurring ear infections. He's exposed to viruses, he's exposed to germs, he's exposed to infections, he's exposed to whatever. And some kids are super susceptible to ear infections. So she's, again, giving away the job of developing the social skills to the school and the speech to the school, but he's getting sick there. And as a result of him being sick and still going to school, his behavior is bad and he's throwing tantrums. He doesn't sleep well at night and he finds it hard to fall asleep. Concentration isn't great. He doesn't socialize with kids in nursery still. eating has become poor and randomly cries, and he would rather imaginary play all by himself with every object because he's not interested in hearing, whether he's hearing or not. He's not benefiting or even listening to people. These are not the symptoms of apraxia at all, okay? These are not the symptoms of apraxia. They're the symptoms of a child who has ear issues. Okay. And she's confused. Do I need to book an ENT consultant or a pediatrician is enough? Okay. So first of all, I'm glad that you're taking back this responsibility and just sending him to the school and recurring antibiotics is going to help your child catch up, because time is a wasting for this child. He already has virtual autism. He's had a period of time, probably a long period of time, where he's had no spoken language. Now you're sending him to school with fluid in his ears. You know he's got fluid in his ears. He can't hear well. School is noisy, chaotic. He's not able to listen to the teachers. He's not able to engage with the kids. So now he's playing alone at school. He's playing alone at home. And your child has no one empathizing for the physical symptoms that he's suffering. So the first thing you need to do is, yes, get with an ear, nose, and throat specialist to find out why are these infections recurring, okay? If it is due to school viruses, if it's just viruses, or if it's infections, or if there's something that's going on, that's a problem. Perhaps it's not just germs. Perhaps your child structurally needs to see a chiropractor or somebody to work on those things. Those are all in those ear, nose, and throat videos, okay? But if your speech therapist will not focus on these ear, nose, and throat issues as the root cause of your child's speech delay, you need another speech therapist. Because ear, nose, and throat issues, it doesn't matter if you hear a little bit less or not. When you hear a little bit less than you're able to, you tune out. It's like when the TV is fuzzy or staticky or in another language and you don't understand it. Even if it's on in the room, you don't pay attention. You'll watch the images, but you'll stop listening. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to listen when you can't hear. That's why people with hearing impairment get hearing aids. And just giving your child medicine to control that fluid is not enough, okay? Your child needs more help with a therapist that's going to give them stuff. If your child suspects that your child has apraxia, that means they're going to use apraxia strategies, which are all about pulling out, ooh, e, single sounds, blending, potato, potato, that kind of business. And that will make your child who cannot hear so frustrated, because these things appear that the mouth isn't working and it's just not the right way to go. You need a new speech therapist. I'm sorry. I hate to call that out, but when you see those kinds of symptoms and whatever she said on that evaluation report that indicated apraxia, if your child was like the other one that I talked about earlier who has global apraxia, you would know that he has trouble holding his spoon or holding a pencil or riding a bike or climbing or reaching or turning doorknobs or things like that. But we didn't talk about those symptoms. We talked about symptoms that are clear, sleeping issues, eating issues that have to do with health, general health. Okay, so you need to work with this ear fluid. First, you need to drop this speech therapist and drop this school and teach your child how to use some spoken language so that he can share what's really bothering him. Talk about these ear issues. That's where I would go with all of that. And your regular, what you're doing right now is not enough for your son. So you definitely do need help. Okay, so really quick, I'm going to just talk about, I don't see any other questions coming in here. I see somebody's tagged somebody else in this video so that you can see what's going on. The whole point of all of this Q&A is to remind you again how powerful you are. It's never going to work if you give away the job. Even if you hire someone because you're working full time or you and your partner are working full time, you never see your child and somebody else is spending time with them during the day, that person should be an extension of you, not just somebody else who knows something better. You might as well keep giving your child the tablet or the phone if you want that, because everybody on YouTube is an expert, okay? So the idea here is that you are not too low or dumb or impaired or uneducated or whatever, quiet personality. There's nothing too about you that makes you unable to teach your child. This is your child, the one that you birthed. Regardless of how they show it, they love you. And you know they love you. You know they show it then when they love you. This is a method that works through that love, through this other brain, right? The helping your late talker, no matter why they are late, to catch up bit by bit, 1% at least every day. And when they learn those skills every day and their brain starts to develop and they realize the value of speech and the value of structure and the value of connection, they will return for more of it, just like they realize the value of their device. Okay? These children are smart and you are capable and powerful. So powerful, more powerful than any other person in this child's life. And I don't want you to feel like you should give up because someone told you that the evidence-based stuff doesn't work for your kid or it doesn't work for your kid. And you could be saying the same thing about what I say in my videos. That's all right. That just works for somebody else's kids, the mild ones, the virtual autism, the one that aren't real autism. But even kids with virtual autism don't make improvement if their parents don't step up and do this work. And when a child with true autism, true auditory processing disorder, true Down syndrome, true hearing impairment, true ADHD, when their parents take the time to connect with them, structure their life so that they understand what's going on and they're prepared and they're not anxious and they're regulated, and they teach them the spoken language they need for their life, these children don't look so impaired anymore. They look empowered. They're the ones you see on YouTube showing off their abilities because they're just like every other kid in the world. They want to grow up to be successful, independent, capable people. And they're tired of people who say, you're to this and I'm to that. So, oh, well, guess we give up now. And you're going to be impaired forever and delayed forever. And the gap's going to continue to get widened. I don't want you to give up, folks. There's no reason to give up. Now, is it happen overnight? No. Is it super easy? No. It's a big change that is required to see big change in children. Okay? And it has to be the right one. Think about how big that ABA change was for your child. It had impact. You might have some damage control to do. You might have to change some behaviors and earn trust again because you've been doing like this teacher mom teachifying her parenting experience, okay? And her kids don't like it. They prefer the tablet to their mom. If the child prefers their tablet to you, that's your problem, mama. That's your problem. I know you can't be more entertaining than Blippi, but you can connect with your child through the things that you do, through the things your child needs, because they don't need Blippi 24/7. They need you. Okay? So that's what I'm going to leave this video with today. Something for you to think about. Some nice testimonials for you to see how probable it is that you can facilitate change when you use the right strategies. And then when you do these things, I want you to join me back and share your testimonials with me. If you have done and your child is severe, share it in the comments of this video, live or on the replay, because there is no two for anything. This is your time now. You have everything you need right now. If you need help, that's when you can get a coach. But you are capable today to start today with the resources that I have. Now, you can see my resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com, but the ones that parents are using most are my books. These are all of the links for these are in the description of this video. And then my newsletter. So definitely sign up for my newsletter. It is totally free and you get a 7-page get started guide to help you learn exactly how this whole thing works, how this whole process works. You can review it. There's strategies in here. There's links to videos in here. There's details about how to analyze your child right here in this free get started guide that goes with my newsletter. The link is in the description. Subscribe right now. New things are coming. New workshops are coming. And don't forget, everybody, this is the last week that the Virtual Autism Symptoms Challenge is going to be available to the general public. June 1st, it moves into my membership level here on YouTube. If you want access to 700 videos cultivated into libraries, just like that playlist full of the playlist that's full of testimonials, there's a playlist full of challenging things, a Get Started Here playlist, a conversation playlist, expansion playlist, a difficult behaviors playlist, all of those. There's tons of videos with strategies to help you get to be an expert in this. Because you should be an expert. You're the parent. You should be the number one person who can motivate, facilitate the outcomes that your child wants. Okay? Now, for those of you still watching, I want to share something with you that is super exciting right here. I am going to be traveling again this June, next month. I'm going two places. I'm going to be going to Chicago, and June 5th is going to be my meetup day there in Elmhurst, Illinois. And both of these areas are near large cities, but sort of centrally located in places that have good parking. And National Harbor, Maryland. I don't know the exact location where it will be. And the reason that I don't know the exact location is because I need feedback from you. I cannot host these meetups willy-nilly. My audience isn't millions and millions of people. It's just those of you watching. And if you live in Chicago and you're available on June 5th, I want you to comment on this video now. I'm going to be doing another one to get it too, but I need to get some numbers. I need to know who is interested in doing this. I want to have dessert. I want to find out how many people are coming. If you are at all interested and you would join me for a meetup, and what these meetups are going to be is a little combo. So what you're going to be doing at this live meetup Q&A event, we're going to eat snacks. You can ask questions. You can share progress. You can meet other language facilitators, other parents who live in your area, other providers who are doing this stuff. You can schedule one-on-one consults with me, because at the meetups, you'll have a special offer to be able to schedule cheaper one-on-one consults like I do with my workshops. And I'll have books for you to sign, stickers, you know, giveaways, things like that. I need to know right now if you are, and what you do in the comments is you write either Chicago or DC, where you are from, that you would be interested to join me in the meetup. And they're coming up. It's just in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, the 5th is very close. So I know I don't have much time for this, and they won't happen if I don't get people to sign up. But I am going to be in those cities. I wasn't going to go to Washington because I was going for a conference and the conference got canceled, but I already have a room. I already have a flight. And I know that there are people in DC. So I hope that you can make it worth my trip to have a little meetup and schedule some consults so that we can connect and I can help those of you. It doesn't matter why your child is late talking. I can help you facilitate what's going on. Ethio says, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And once again, Allie says, where is all of this? The link's in the description of this. Waves of communication. I always do this to show people that it's waves like the ocean. And you can learn what you need. I really want more and more parents to start sending me these testimonial questions instead of these, but my kid is this, and but my kid is that, and but the therapist says he has this, and but the therapist says he has that. You don't need to listen to people who tell you things that make you doubt yourself as the number one main person that's going to teach your child. You might not be able to teach them trigonometry or how to be a lawyer or whatever when they get older, but this stuff, spoken language, appropriate behavior, and social skills, how to meet people, connect with the world, this is what parents can teach your kids. Even if you yourself are maybe not the best communicator, don't have the most exciting social skills, and you're super quiet anyway, you don't really share a lot anyway, and you want to equip your child, you can do this. And through the process, you'll improve your own skills, right? Because this is why you had this child. God gave you this one so that you can learn how to be different, so that you can help your child who is unique share their wisdom with the world. They were here for a reason. You had them here, help them change the world. This is our jobs, okay? So thanks again for joining me, everybody, for this video. I'll be back next week with another live. And don't forget to take advantage of that virtual autism challenge. And of course, sign up for my membership. I'm just trying to let you know that that's how things are moving. This is an expectation. You're going to have to take action, folks. You're going to have to do something. You can't just watch videos. I just did a consult with somebody yesterday. She bought my book months ago and has not even written a stitch in it, nothing in it. It says 11-week journey. She was hoping 11 weeks. She just buys the book and her child is going to make improvements. That's not how this works. This is a workbook, right? Here we go. That's in two ways. You can see the 11-week journey behavior to speaking or the 11-week journey to speech. They're the same. They're the same. Okay. Now, also, I forgot to say something really quick before I go. I should do another video to remind you about all of these things, but I know that there's a few people still watching. So I just want to remind you, I forgot to remind you about my workshops. So I just did a online workshop. It was an amazing 4-hour workshop. And I am now going to be, it was so good. I edited it into a recording and it's up on my website right now for you to be able to get as a recorded workshop. You still get the downloads. You still get the offer even to connect with me for a 1-hour consult at the lowest price I offer. I only offer that to workshop people because you have to go to the workshop to learn the things from the workshop before you can schedule your consult, because I can't give you 4 hours of workshop information in one phone call. I need you to go and do some learning before these consultations so that we both benefit from the time. And so go to my website, wavesofcommunication.com. You're going to see everything and how to get that workshop. So thanks again for watching, everybody. Now I'm going to go and I'll see you on next week's live Q&A. Bye for now.
With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation journey to speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.